Okay, I will report here on the latest developments in direct neutrino mass experiments, and my talk will be split into three parts. First, I will motivate why neutrino masses are so interesting in particle physics and cosmology, and that has, of course, been shown to you in the session before in much detail, so I will go through this quite quickly. And then show results from bolometric measurements with rhenium microcalorimeters, and finally show the status, what has been achieved with electrostatic spectrometers, mainly the experiments done by Mainz, Troitz, and the upcoming experiment Katrin. So for motivation, of course, we have the particle physics motivation to look for the absolute neutrino mass scale, and as you can see here, the mass eigenvalues as a function of the lowest mass eigenvalue M1 here in a normal mass hierarchy. And what we know from oscillation experiments are the differences, the delta M squared values, but we do not know the absolute mass scale. And one task, of course, is to separate really, to decide which scenario of neutrino masses we are living in, either in a hierarchical scheme or in a quasi-degenerate scheme for the neutrino masses. On the other hand, if you take the same plot, but not take the individual masses, but the sum of all the three neutrino masses, you can relate directly these neutrino masses to the matter or energy content in the universe. And here you see that just taking the upper limits from tritium experiments and the lower bound from super K, neutrinos could make up a range here in between from 0.1 up to maybe 15 or 20% of the critical density of the universe. So in that sense, the absolute mass scale of the neutrinos also plays a role, or might play a role, in cosmology. So what are the strategies to go for in determining the absolute mass scale? Of course, as we have heard before already, there is the approach to use cosmological information and structure formation information from the cosmic microwave background or large-scale structures. But as we heard again this morning, the limits one can deduce or the information on the neutrino mass depend on model assumptions. And depending on what data one uses, there is even a positive best fit value. On the other hand, we know that there is the possibility to make time of flight measurements with supernova neutrinos, and if we are lucky and there will be a supernova quite near, and using the existing and maybe upcoming experiments for the neutrinos as well as gravitational waves experiment, one might come into an energy, into a sensitivity range of a few electron volts. A laboratory approach, of course, is looking for neutrinoless double beta decay. I don't want to go into detail because there is a session devoted tomorrow. There are different experiments, and there is one evidence for non-vanishing effective neutrino mass. So this is certainly an interesting approach, a complementary way for looking not for Majorana effective neutrino mass, but model-independent approach is checking the kinematics of beta decay. This can be done either by microcalorimeters, where you use the source as the detector itself, or by a spectrometric approach with electrostatic spectrometers, which is usually done with tritium. So let's concentrate on the kinematical approach, where we look for distortions due to massive neutrinos at the endpoint of the beta spectrum. And you know quite well the description of the spectrum. I just want to point out or remind you that the observable in that case is M squared. And the distortion in the spectrum is twofold for massive neutrinos. First, of course, there's a lack of electron energies and input into the spectrum just at the end of the spectrum. But in addition, there's a distortion of the spectral shape further down into the spectrum. So a twofold signature. And of course, as one deals with the tail of the beta spectrum, one needs a strong source to achieve high count rate near the endpoint. which is also related to the requirement of having a small endpoint energy to increase the statistics in that area. And then on the other hand, as you can see here on an electron volt scale, one needs an excellent energy resolution, long-term stability of this energy resolution and scale, and of course, which is not shown here as since this is a theoretical spectrum, of course, there is a background underlying the beta endpoint spectrum here, so which might cover this endpoint, and so one requires the lowest possible background rate. So one approach is, as I said, a bolometric approach where you use the rhenium decaying into osmium and electron and the electron antineutrino. And the nice thing here is that this is the lowest known endpoint energy of 2.46 keV. The idea is to use an array of these crystals for the MiBeta experiment. These are 10 crystals. This assures that you have high statistics, a relative high source strength. On the other hand, low pileup because you separate these into 10 crystals, as I said. So the idea here is to have the rhenium crystal here and then to deduce the energy deposited by beta decay via a thermistor here running the crystals at an operating temperature of 70 up to 100 millik. I want to point to a poster by Monica Sisti, which explains all this experiment in more detail, but I just want to show the result here. This is a very nice Curie plot of almost the whole spectrum from 0.7 up to 0.7 keV up to the endpoint, taking data here up to April 2003. And what you have to do here is fitting now the spectrum with a description which has the theoretical shape, pile-up fraction, the background description, and the detector resolution. And then there are five free parameters, the beta endpoint, the neutrino mass squared, of course, and then the normalizations for the overall spectrum, the pileup, and the background level. The results are shown here, first for the free parameter in the endpoint energy, which is measured very accurately. And if you look at that plot here, which shows the endpoint, the fitted endpoint as a function of the size of the fitting interval, you see that there is no tendency, no bias, so a very nice result. Independent on the fitting interval. Concerning the neutrino mass, you see here the best fit corresponding to an m squared value compatible with zero, which gives an upper limit of 15 electron volts at 90% confidence level. So the future of these experiments will be that there is a proposal to improve the statistics, go for about 100 crystals, improve the energy resolution, and the aim is to come up after 2 to 3 years of measuring time, maybe around 2007 to 2010, with a sensitivity of 2 to 3 electron volts. Another approach I just learned, thanks to Flavio Gatti this morning, is Genoa is an experiment in Genoa, where this experiment has been approved to go for half a gram of rhenium, and the sensitivity expected here is in the range of 1 to 1.7 electron volts. And for all further details, again, I refer to the poster, which is in the poster session. So let's come now to another approach where we look for the endpoint using a spectrometer and not the detector itself. So the idea here is that we have a tritium source of electrons which are emitted isotropically in a relatively small cross-section area. And then the electrons are guided from a strong magnetic field into an area of a very low magnetic field. And by the inhomogeneous field, the momentum of the electrons is transformed into parallel momentum in the middle of this analyzing plane here. And if you now apply an electric potential here, one can analyze the energy of the electrons just by changing or by varying the retarding electric field. So these spectrometers act as a high-pass filter and take the integral beta spectrum above the applied potential here. So this experimental approach has been proved very successful by different experiments, and the actual running experiments, still Troitsk and Mainz, have done this with tremendous accuracy improvement, as you can see here, where you see the best fit values of the observable m squared as a function of the time of these experiments. And I just want to go a bit into more detail of the Mainz experiment. You see here a photo of the beam line where the tritium source is here, which is a frozen tritium source at 1.9 Kelvin, and then the spectrometer here with a diameter of 0.9 meters and 2 meters length. The energy resolution is 4.8 electron volts, and over the years from 94 up to 2001, you see that there was a tremendous improvement in statistics of count rates for the tritium source. But even more important was that there was an understanding of a lot of systematic effects which were not known in the beginning. For example, roughening of the tritium film if the temperature is not stabilized at that low value of 1.9 Kelvin. There were special measurements deducing inelastic scattering and thereby the energy loss function due to inelastic scattering, and also effects of self-charging in the tritium film. So all these systematics are well understood now for Mainz experiment. And one last final systematics, which had to be sort of proven, was the amplitude or the probability for neighbor excitations in the tritium film when an electron is emitted from beta decay. So up to now, there was only one calculation, theoretical calculation for a slightly different source situation giving these values. And having now the full data set from 98 to 2001, there was enough statistics really to do a free fit in the amplitude for these neighboring excitations and m squared. And you see the result here, best fit at zero value for m squared and at 5% for the amplitude for the neighbor excitations, which is in very nice agreement if you transform this calculation to the actual situation at Mainz. Again, details on this can be seen by a poster of Christine Kraus in the poster sessions. So the results of the Mainz experiment are shown here. Again, best fit for the observable m squared. And the blue brackets here show the results if you take this free fitting of neighbor excitations into account. Similar sensitivity has been reached by the Troitsk experiment, where the experiment is at the moment in a phase of installing new infrastructure. So therefore, the question now is, what can be the improvement in the next future? These experiments, as they are with the hardware, have somewhat reached their limit in sensitivity. So if we want to go further by an order of magnitude in sensitivity, as I said before, the observable is m squared. So this means an improvement in the accuracy of the observable of a factor of 100. So this can be done by two ways. First of all, of course, increasing the statistics using a stronger source, getting to values of a few curies of effective electron beam. This can be done, of course, by somewhat thickening the source, but you will be limited by self-absorption effects within the source. So you have to increase the cross-section of the source, which directly implies taking the flux tube, the magnetic flux tube, which is transported here, that you also have to increase the analyzing plane here. In addition, for higher statistics, of course, you can run the experiment much longer. Actually, for Mainz and Troitsk, the running period was about 100 days, and you can go by a factor of 10 here higher for 1,000 days around. Another approach which is needed is, of course, a better energy resolution. The energy resolution of these electrostatic spectrometers is directly related to the ratio of the minimal field in the analyzing plane to to the maximal magnetic field somewhere in between the source and the analyzing plane. So improving this by a factor of 4 to 5, that means again that the analyzing plane here has to be increased at the same factor. And this points then towards a vessel of the typical size of 10 meters in diameter. So this approach is followed with a new experiment, the Katrin Karlsruhe tritium neutrino experiment, where a lot of groups are involved which have already a lot of experience and know-how in tritium experiments. So the idea here is that you have a molecular gaseous tritium source where the tritium is injected in the middle of this source and then pumped differentially at the both ends of this source out, so that you have a closed loop of tritium gas flow. The electrons are then guided magnetically into a combination of a pre-spectrometer and a large spectrometer. The pre-spectrometer will reject all low energy beta electrons which do not carry any information concerning the neutrino mass, and then a final very fine scan of the energy will be made in the main spectrometer, and then finally the electrons collected which have passed the spectrometer. So this experiment will be built at the Forschungszentrum Karlsruhe in Germany. This shows computer graphics where the buildings will be situated on the campus. The reason why this will be built here is that this building here is an existing tritium lab which has a license to run 40 grams of tritium, which I think is the only civil tritium laboratory, at least in Europe, which can handle this, and therefore is the ideal place to run this experiment. So the idea is that, as I said, that the tritium source itself with a length of 10 meters will be situated within the existing tritium laboratory, and then the other experimental parts of Katrin will continue here along the building. The tritium source will be a windowless gaseous tritium source where you have a source tube which is surrounded by solenoids in total length 10 meters. The diameter of the source tube will be 90 millimeters with an applied field of 3.6 Tesla. And one of the main features here is that an isotopic purity of tritium T2 will be reached better than 95%, and a monitoring of the temperature of 1 times 10 to the minus 3 at a level of 27 Kelvin for the source. Then, as I said, due to the injection in the middle and the pumping at the end, there will be a specific longitudinal source profile here. This is just a simplified sketch, but detailed calculations show that the column density in total in this source will then be 5 times 10 to the 17 per squared centimeters, and that this is not only a sketch, but that there has been already a lot of work in specification is shown here, where you see the inner tube here surrounded by this green part, which is a neon bath assuring the temperature of 27 Kelvin. And then the red parts are the cryostat for the solenoids here. And just to remind you, the injection of tritium here corresponds to about 10 to the 20 molecules of tritium per second, or 4.7 curie of tritium injected per second. And if there wouldn't be a closed loop, this would correspond really to 40 grams of tritium per day. Another feature is that you have to monitor the isotopic purity to a level of 2 times 10 to the minus 3, which will be done by laser Raman spectroscopy. So then from the source, the electrons are guided magnetically into the spectrometers. And as I said, this is a tandem design where we have a pre-spectrometer, which is typically of the size of the Mainz and Troitz spectrometers, where the incoming beta flux of about 10 to the 10 will be reduced by a factor of 10 to the 7 due to the fact that all the low energy electrons are rejected and only those who potentially carry information on the neutrino mass will be then transported into the main spectrometer, which has a size of 10 meters diameter and 22 meters length, with an energy resolution of 1 electron volt. And of course, to study the magnetic guiding and the electric potential here needs a lot of detailed electromagnetic design, which has gone into that. And just one number I want to remind you, if we look that at the, then at the rate of electrons having passed the spectrometers about 25 electron volts below the endpoint, then the count rate is reduced to about 10 hertz. So there is another challenge to this spectrometer. This will be a stainless steel spectrometer. And one of the important features is really minimizing any background you can think of. And there are two main sources of background. One is that the signal beta electrons might scatter on rest gas, which is in the spectrometer vessel. So the requirement is to have an extremely good vacuum condition of a pressure of better than 10 or less than 10 to the minus 11 millibars for a volume to pump here of about 1,500 cubic meters. Another source of background is cosmogenic, where muons passing through the stainless steel here produce delta electrons at the surface of the steel. And these low-energy delta electrons might enter into the analyzing plane and then guide it into the spectrometer. To reduce that, there's an idea, and that has been proven to work, having a sort of a wireless inner electrode system here, a massless inner electrode system consisting of thin wires at a slightly higher potential to reject these low-energy electrons. And this has been tested at the MINDS experiment very successfully. You see here as a function of the screening potential between these wires and the surface of the tank for the MINDS experiment. And you can reduce this cosmic-induced background to a level of about 1 millihertz if you take into account the intrinsic detector background of 1.6 millihertz. So again, I want to refer to a poster for all the details on the spectrometer. The detector concept for Katrin is foreseen with a pin diode array where you ensure high efficiency for these KeV electrons arriving, a spatial resolution due to a structure shown here as a T structure for multiplex pin diodes. And of course, the main detector will be behind the spectrometer here, but in the prototype stage, there will be this pre-spectrometer and a pre-spectrometer detector here. And so what you see here are all the parts which are already built for this pre-spectrometer, which will serve as a prototype for the Katrin main detector. So what is the sensitivity and discovery potential one expects for the Katrin experiment? So shown here is first the statistical accuracy on M squared here as a function of the measuring interval below the endpoint of 18.575 keV. And you see this was the curve first published in the letter of intent late in the end of 2001. Since then, there was an optimization of the whole design. First, there was a stronger source from a source diameter of 75 to 90 millimeters, which required, instead of 7 meters, now a 10 meter diameter vessel. In addition, the isotopic purity was enhanced, and a further optimization was done in optimizing the measuring point distribution near the endpoint, taking into account that depending on the energy, the sensitivity for a massive neutrino, of course, changes. So altogether, this improves the statistical accuracy to this reference curve now. And I just want to skip that and come to the results Katrin expects after 3 years of full beam data taking. So then systematic uncertainties should be of the same level as statistical uncertainty, giving discovery potential of 350 millielectron volts at 5 sigma statistical accuracy, which can be seen here again. This is the discovery potential as a function of the potential neutrino mass. And as you can see here, at 0.35 electron volts, the significance would be 5 sigma. On the other hand, if the mass is zero, one can also set a value for the sensitivity, which would be then 0.2 electron volts at 90% confidence level. And if you compare this to the older curve for the letter of intent, one sees again this major improvement in the design. So let me come to a very short overview of the status of hardware activities for Katrin. The pre-spectrometer has been installed and built and tested now for vacuum purposes. There is the differential pumping system ordered already. There is the pre-spectrometer detector assembled, and the assembly will be put together with the pre-spectrometer to make electromagnetic test measurements in the next few months. And then there's specification going on for the windowless gaseous tritium source as well as the main spectrometer, so that these main components will be ordered end of this year. So, conclusions and outlook. I think I don't have to mention again, but it's on the plot here, that the absolute neutrino mass scale is of prime importance. We want to know that both for particle physics purposes, but also to understand the role of neutrinos in cosmology. There are different approaches for the kinematical study of beta decay by bolometric measurements, which have shown very nice results. And this experiments can prove almost the whole range of the beta decay spectrum. So in that sense, they are somewhat complementary to these electrostatic spectrometers. And so the results are not yet competitive, but there is progress, as I have shown, to improve this by maybe an order of magnitude in the next years. The electrostatic spectrometers, especially in Mainz and Troitz, have been shown that this works very successfully. They have set the most stringent upper limits from laboratory experiments, which are 2.2 electron volts at 95% confidence level. Unfortunately, these experiments have now reached sort of their intrinsic limit for neutrino mass sensitivity, and therefore putting all the know-how together, there is this new project, Katrin, where the sensitivity should be improved by an order of magnitude with discovery potential of 350 millielectron volts at 5 sigma statistical significance. The design of Katrin has been improved during the last 2 years. First components are already existing and under test, and we are confident that commissioning and first tests and measurements will start in 2008. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Questions? Over there.
Yeah, Klaus, I thought you one test, one important test was to have both a solid source and a gaseous source. Is that changed, or I missed something?
No, this is not changed. So the idea, maybe, well, you can see it also here. So in this yellowish part here, there's still foreseen a way of putting a condensed matter source into it, a frozen source. So for the moment, we are going for this gaseous molecular tritium source, but in any case, everything is foreseen to put also a frozen source into it. So at the moment, from the statistical significance, the gaseous source is much stronger than the frozen source, but for systematic checks, it's sure that the option is in.
Further questions? If not, let's answer. Oh, over there. Sorry.
In addition to the small endpoint energy, one of the advantages of the tritium source in the past was its simple atomic physics. Now that you go into other atoms, which are more complicated, is this problem under control? That's the first question. And then, what about capture experiments like a la de Rugula 15 years ago? Are they dead, or maybe there is also a possibility of going into targets like this? Thank you.
Okay, so you're right concerning effects which are not even atomic anymore but molecular. These have to be treated, and they are treated. Maybe I just find. Oh, it's. I'm sorry for that. These molecular effects are taken into account, and certainly you have to study the raw vibrational excitations of the daughter molecule tritium, helium, singly positive. This can be done, and this has been calculated in detail. The nice thing about Katrin is that Katrin will rely only on a few tens of electron volts below the endpoint. And the first electronic excited state of the helium tritium molecule comes at 20 electron volts. Therefore, you are separated and you're really studying only the ground state of this transition from T2 to T tritium helium singly ionized ion. So in that sense, that's much better than all the other experiments, because you can really restrict the measurement to the ground state transition.
Okay, well, only one more question.
I just want to ask, after getting a very high vacuum and also rejection delta rays, still do you have some background contributions beyond the endpoint? And also I wonder that may contribute to some systematic errors.
Any
background beyond the endpoint, no, after getting that vacuum and delta ray rejections?
Of course, there is background.
Yes.
So the background continues. This is just internal background from the detector, for example. There is cosmogenic background coming, and all this background contributes. And this is certainly continuing above the endpoint energy. So the only thing one can, or you can study, and there have been already intensive simulations to describe that background and the components. And up to now, the background in that region, if you go to a specific region, can be really monitored to be flat, so that you have really a flat background. No influence on that, but you could also, any slope in the background could be put into an overall fit.
Okay, thank you again.